With our Bibles open to John chapter number 20, would you stand together, shall we? Standing together, our Bibles open to John chapter number 20. I'll begin reading in verse number 1. In John chapter number 20, in verse number 1, the Bible says, "The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed, for as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead." To me, these are some of the most incredible words to be found in all of scripture. The Bible says in verse number 9, "For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead." Father, thank you for these who are here this morning. We pray, Father, that in a very obvious and manifest manner, that you would display your own presence among your people. We pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit would find liberty to move within our hearts, that we would allow nothing to hinder you from doing all that would please you during these moments. I pray that you would soften the heart that might be hardened. I pray, Lord, that you would hold our attention upon the scriptures. We pray, Lord, that Jesus Christ would be exalted, and that no man would be able to leave this place saying no to our lovely Savior. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Very early on resurrection morning, Mary and others, they came to the sepulchre to visit the grave, the resting place of the dead. But when they arrived, they were not prepared for what they found. Or should I say, they were not prepared for what they did not find. They came with anticipation of visiting a corpse, but when they came to the tomb, they found it empty. The stone was rolled away. He wasn't there. But why the consternation? Why the dismay? Why the questions? Why the doubt? The Bible tells us these incredible words, some of the most amazing words to be found in all of Scripture. The Bible says, "For as yet they knew not the Scripture that he must rise again from the dead." But you need to understand, in the Old Testament, his resurrection had been so powerfully, prophetically proclaimed. I think of how the psalmist, he spoke in prophetic word when he said, "Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption." Even in the Old Testament, it had been proclaimed that Jesus Christ would not only die for our sins, but he would leave behind an empty tomb, powerfully proclaimed and colorfully pictured. I think of that moment when those men, they came to Moses with the desire that they would be exalted among the people. And this instruction was given that those who represented the 12 tribes, each man was to bring forth a rod, and the rod that budded would signify God's choice as to who would be recognized as being the spiritual leader. In the story, it tells us that it was Aaron's rod that erupted forth with fruit. And do you not realize that his rod, it was literally a branch that had been severed from its life that burst forth with resurrection fruit? All throughout the Old Testament, again and again, so colorfully pictured was the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I think of that sacrifice when a dove was to be taken, his wings dipped in the blood of sacrifice, and then he was released into the heavens, picturing the fact that Jesus Christ would not only shed his blood, but he would rise again so that he himself would be the one to present his own blood in the presence of the Heavenly Father. Amen. Again and again, all throughout the Old Testament, it had been powerfully proclaimed, colorfully pictured. Jesus Christ, he had plainly told his disciples on more than one occasion, two occasions, three occasions at least, not only that he would be given over into the hands of cruel men, but that they would brutally lead him forth to the cross of Calvary, and that they would kill him, that he would die an agonizing, torturous death. Even he himself said, after that I am risen, I will go forth before thee into Galilee. With his own words he said this to be so. And yet the scriptures say, for as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. I tell you this morning, if they would have only known the scriptures, things would have been different. If they would have only known the scriptures, the story would read in a different manner. If they would have only known the scriptures. May I say to you, dear friend, if we only knew the scriptures, things would be different in our lives too. You say, preacher, you don't understand who you're talking to. I've been a deacon in this church for many years. I've taught Sunday school. You don't understand, preacher. You don't understand. My mother taught me that blessed book on her knee when I was but a child. You don't understand, preacher. I'm many years your senior. May I say to you, dear friend, if our hearts ever find out half of what our heads claim to know, we'll never be the same. For as yet they knew not the scriptures that he must rise again from the dead. And I say to you, we who claim to know so much about this blessed book, if our hearts ever find out half of what our heads claim to know, we'd have revival then. Amen. We would. And we'd never be the same if we only knew the scriptures. Perhaps this morning we should fall on our face before our God and say, Lord, teach our hearts what our heads claim to know. I tell you first that if they would have only known the scriptures, they would have known Christ better. If they would have only known the scriptures, they would have known Christ better. When the lame entered into his presence and he spoke those words that had healing power in every syllable, so that though perhaps they were carried to him, they were able to take up their bed and go forth to their home without the help of any man. When he touched the eyes of the blind so that they could look and behold the first sunset that they had ever beheld on the horizon, when the withered hand stretched forth, they knew him to be the great physician. Whenever the demons trembled in his presence and fled at his rebuke, whenever he stood there in the bow of a little boat and he spoke to the storms so that the waves, they laid themselves down to rest on distant shores, and the winds, they hushed their angry voices, they knew him to be the sovereign Lord. Whenever Jesus died on the cross of Calvary and he spoke those words saying, "It is finished," they knew him to be the suffering Lamb. But they did not know him to be the one who had conquered death, hell, and the grave. For the scriptures tell us, for as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Did not one of his very disciples say to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. And he says in reply, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me? Dear friends, do we not also as well so oftentimes find ourselves among that same crowd who don't know him nearly as well as we should, not nearly as well as what we claim? I think of the one who wrote those words saying, divine instructor, gracious Lord, be thou forever near. Teach me to love thy precious word and view my Savior here. Another wrote, the volume of my Father's grace does all my griefs assuage. Here I behold my Savior's face almost on every page. And did he himself not say, search the scriptures, for in them ye think that you have eternal life, and they are they which speak of me. If they would have only known the scriptures, they would have known Christ better. When the great preacher Harry Ironside was still a young man, he looked to an elder, a man who was many years his senior, who had walked with God for quite a length of his lifetime. And H.E. Ironside asked of him when still a young man, he said, sir, how is it that Christ seems so real to you? How can it be that he would be so real to any man? And the preacher said in reply, he said, son, he said, years ago, he said, I learned to study my Bible by bending on knee before its pages and opening its covers, praying God reveal Christ to my soul. Dear friend, I say to you that many of us need to learn how to study our Bibles like that again. If they would have only known the scriptures, they would have known Christ better. And what does it mean, dear friend, if you can argue over all the great issues of scripture and yet your heart never lays hold on him? I think of the woman who was dying on her bed of affliction. How that in those last moments she uttered those words that so oft had brought peace to her heart. She said, For I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. And as the moments passed and the strength had waned, as the moment drew near, at last there were just few words that lingered upon her lips. And so she would say with her last breath, that which I have committed unto him, that which I have committed unto him. Until at last there was but a single word that was formed by her breath, but that word was him. 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 My friend, her feeble mind had lost its grasp of so much that she had remembered from years past, but her heart had laid hold on him. What does it matter if you claim yourself to be a Bible scholar and yet your heart never embraces him? If they would have only known the scriptures, they would have known Christ better. If they would have only known the scriptures, they would have grieved less. It must have been a sorrowful moment when they came forth into the garden and led away my Lord, Judas planting the kiss of betrayal upon his cheek. The scriptures tell us that there were those who followed in his shadow and stood along the lanes and the alleys and they wept as he passed by carrying his cross. What a sorrowful moment. What a grievous time. For 3 days after his death, the disciples, they gathered together and mourned. When Mary came to them and said, the tomb is empty. He's not there. The stone is moved. The grave's not a grave anymore. We can't find him. The Bible says she found them weeping, and she herself also, she broke down in tears until through a veil of tears she sees one before her that she thinks to be the gardener and doesn't recognize to be her resurrected Lord. May I say to you, dear friend, if they would have only known the scriptures, somebody might have reminded the other, weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. And what glorious joy came on that third morning when they realized that the reason that the tomb was empty is because he wasn't dead. There's been many a time when I've stood behind a pulpit during a funeral service and I've seen as it were the Holy Spirit reach forth his hand and dry tears from weeping eyes. In some of those moments, the family that cried aloud for comfort were my own family. But I will say to you, dear friend, there have been other occasions when even as a preacher, I've taken this Bible in hand and I've stepped over into the shadows where no eye could see. And I've said, Lord, before it was for others and now it's for me. And as I've seen the Holy Spirit, as it were, reach down his hand of comfort and wipe the tear from weeping eyes, I've felt his fingers on my own cheek, brushing aside my tears at times. But I will be the first one to say, dear friend, that sometimes we grieve as much as we do because we don't know this Bible as we ought. If our hearts ever find out half of what our heads claim to know, I think we're going to do a whole lot more rejoicing and a whole lot less weeping. We might say one to another, weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. If they would have only known the Scriptures, they would have known Christ better. If they would have only known the Scriptures, they would have grieved less. If they would have only known the Scriptures, they would have doubted nothing. If they would have only known the Scriptures. Mary, she comes to the tomb and it's empty. She looks inside. The grave is vacant. He's not there. And of course, the only conclusion is somebody stole his body. There were two disciples that were on their way to Emmaus. And as they walked along, a stranger joined them in the path. And even as they talk of these things that had transpired in recent days, he begins to rebuke them from the words of the prophets. And it was while he tarried with them and blessed the food before them and vanished from their eyes that they said one to another, did not our hearts burn within us as he spoke to us along the way? And these same disciples, these same ones who had been walking the road to Emmaus, these same ones who, unbeknownst to them for the moment, was joined by the resurrected Lord, these same ones, they show up before the disciples and they say, guess who joined us for supper last night? They were so overwhelmed with emotion, they would not believe, they could not believe. Later, Jesus appeared before them and Thomas said, unless I can see the prints in his hands, unless I can put my hand in his side, I will not believe. I cannot believe. It's not so. Jesus stood before him at last. Thomas, seeing his wounds, he fell on his face. He said, my Lord and my God. When the tomb was empty, somebody in rationale said, his body stolen. And there were those who said he walked with us last night and sat with us to dine in our home. They were so overwhelmed with emotion they could not believe. Thomas, he made his plea for physical evidence. But I say to you, dear friend, regardless of all rationale, regardless of all emotion and every cry for physical evidence, if they would have only known the Scriptures, somebody might have raised their voice and said, he told us he'd rise again from the dead. And so he has. And so he has. If they would have only known the Scriptures. And how is it, dear friend, that we expect in our churches across this land of ours to see revival when we doubt the Scriptures as much as we do? I'm afraid that many a faint heart in churches across America would not be prepared for a moving of God if it happened. I think about the little boy that went into a dark room on an errand for his mother to get the broom. He is scared of the darkness. And so in the shadows he prayed and he said, Lord, he said, I'm glad you're with me anywhere. I'm glad you're with me in this dark room where I'm trying to find this broom. I'm glad, Lord, you're with me in this darkness where I can't see. But, Lord, whatever you do, please don't move or you're going to scare us both. May I say to you, dear friend, if God ever did move in some of the cold churches that I've been in, many a faint heart would scarcely be ready for the moment. If they would have only known the Scriptures, things would have been different. If we only knew the Scriptures, my friend, things would not be the same. If our hearts ever find out half of what our heads claim to know, they would have known Christ better. They would have grieved less. They would have doubted nothing. And I must tell you that they would have rejoiced greatly if they would have only known the Scriptures. In that moment when Judas betrays the Lord and the Roman soldiers take him forth from Gethsemane, if they would have only known the Scriptures, Peter might have said to John, "Boy, these fellows are in for a surprise." If they would have only known the Scriptures. If they would have only known the Scriptures, when Jesus died and at last said, "It is finished," somebody might have said, "Amen, hallelujah, praise the Lord, it's finished." If they would have only known the Scriptures. If they would have only known the Scriptures during those 3 days in which Jesus Christ was in the tomb, I think that the church would have been practicing for the first Easter cantata, and that had gathered together to sing outside the tomb on resurrection morning, if they would have only known the Scriptures. I think Peter would have been standing outside the grave with his Timex sundial, the one equipped for the evening hours. And I think he'd have been saying to the others, "Just a few more minutes and he's coming out of there." If they would have only known the Scriptures, things would have been much different, dear friend. They would have rejoiced greatly. I think about the man who decided on one occasion that he would visit that high church downtown where all the dignified, respectable people went. Oh, he was a country church sort of person himself, and he enjoyed his preacher's messages and his heart was always blessed. But he wanted to see what the attraction was. And he came to the church and sat there in the pews. And, well, the preacher's message was rather cold and stiff, but his heart was always warm, just looking for the opportunity. And when the opportunity came, he said, "Amen." Well, folks looked at him from all directions. Some liked to suffer whiplash. He wasn't trying to be showy. He's just getting blessed. A little while longer, it happened again. He said, "Amen." Boy, that did it. As a group of men came to him, identified themselves as being the ushers, they said, "You're coming with us." They lead him out in the hallway, down the quarter, to the pastor's office. And they said, "You wait in here until our preacher is finished. Here's a magazine you can read until he comes." Pretty soon, the ushers, they hear down the hallway this voice, "Amen, praise the Lord." They throw open the door and they demand of him, "Are you some kind of a nut?" He said, "No." He said, "But this magazine you gave me, it's a National Geographic." "So? There's an article in here in the National Geographic on oceanography that talks about the oceans being so many miles deep. So?" "Well, they say that they think there are some that are places in the ocean that are deeper still, and they haven't found them yet, but they're looking for them. They know they're there and they're searching." "So?" He said, "Well, my Bible says that God put my sins in the depths of the oceans and man still hasn't found the bottom yet." Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm just saying to you, dear friend, if your heart ever finds out half of what your head claims to know, you won't get over it in this lifetime and you won't want to get over it in the lifetime to come. Amen. I was a bus kid. But long before I studied the Greek and the Hebrew in college, I remember sitting there in an auditorium one day when we were watching that movie that so graphically depicted that place of horrible suffering that the film itself was called The Burning Hell. I'll never forget as a child, not yet 12 years of age, watching that film and feeling the tears flowing down my cheeks until at last my daddy had to help me out of the auditorium. My daddy looked me in the hallway and he said, "Son," he said, "I thought you knew for sure you were going to heaven." I said, "I do, Daddy." He said, "Well, why the tears?" He said, "What's wrong, son?" I'll tell you what happened. My friend, there was a little bus kid that heard about a Savior who had died for him, who one day trusted him, who realized that hell was what I deserved and heaven was what I was getting. And the tears just flowed. There are some people who weep. There are some who shout. There are some who sing. And some who have a glimmer in their eye that you can see from 10 feet away. All I'm saying, dear friend, is if your heart ever finds out half of what your head claims to know, you'll be a different person then. Oh, yes, you will. If they would have only known the Scriptures. The Wright brothers, they finally did it. They flew. In fact, that's the message they sent back to their sister in Ohio. They said, "We've done it. We've flown. P.S. We'll be home for Christmas." Somehow a newspaper got a hold of that communication. And that week, a newspaper story had these headlines: "Local bicycle merchants to be home for Christmas." And I think to myself, somebody done missed something. Amen. Dear friend, I've been in churches on the East Coast and the West Coast and the South and North. Sometimes I still stand in church and look out at the faces of God's people and I think to myself, somebody done missed something. If they would have only known the Scriptures, they would have known Christ better. They would have grieved less. They would have doubted nothing. They would have rejoiced greatly. And they would have done more. They would have done more. If they would have only known the Scriptures when Jesus Christ was dying, I don't think Peter would have waited until Pentecost. I think he'd have preached at Calvary about the crucifixion and the coming resurrection if they would have only known the Scriptures. If they would have only known the Scriptures, the story would read differently. For the Bible says that even after the Lord had resurrected, even after Peter had knowledge of this wonderful truth, the Bible says Peter said to others, "I'm going fishing." Took six others with him. The Bible says one day that Jesus, he stood there on the shoreline and he called across the water saying, "Children, have you any meat?" And as they cast the net on the other side. And John says to Peter, he said, "It's the Lord." Peter, he cast his naked body into the waves and swam in shame to shore, crawling through the shadows to the very feet of Christ. And I tell you, dear friend, if he would have only known the Scriptures, things would have been much different. I think he'd have stood before his Lord and said, "Jesus, when you were dying, I was telling that crowd you were dying for them." If they would have only known the Scriptures. I think the disciples would have said, "While you were away, during these 3 days after your death, we were holding meetings all over Jerusalem, knocking on doors, telling people what you had done." If they would have only known the Scriptures, things would have been different. And I wonder, dear friend, when we stand in the presence of our Savior one day, I wonder, dear child of God, how many angels
will shake their heads in their shadows and say of us, if they would have only known the Scriptures, things would have been different. You say, preacher, but I know the Bible. I've taught that Sunday school class. I learned the Bible as a child. Preacher, I know the Bible. My friend, if your heart ever finds out half of what your head claims to know, you'll be knocking on doors, telling your neighbors. He did that for you. You see, our problem is our hearts haven't found out yet what our heads claim to know. I wonder this morning how many need to fall on their face before God and say simply, Lord, teach this heart of mine what my head claims to know. Things would be different then. Oh, yes, it would. You'd never be the same. No, you wouldn't. If your heart ever finds out half of what your head claims to know. Maybe this morning you're not sure that you're on your way to heaven, and you've heard this story many times before. You could tell us about Christ dying on the cross. You could tell us about the empty tomb. You know the story. But if your heart ever finds out half of what your head claims to know, you would not let another day pass by. But you would settle your eternal destiny this very day. You would run to Him if your heart only knew what your head claims to know. Would you stand together with me, please? Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed.